This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 1 through 22. Just want to reread some of those. Sometime later, he fell in love with a man named Delilah who lived in the Sorek Valley. The Philistine leaders went to her and said, "Persuade him to tell you where his strength comes from, so that we can overpower him, tie him up, and make him helpless. Each of us will then give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me, where does your great strength come from? How could someone tie you up and make you helpless?" God's word is truth. Amen. If you attended Sunday school in your youth, you probably remember this biblical account through a young child's eyes. The story about this guy who was strong, super strong, with big muscles, and nobody could push him around. As a little boy, who wouldn't want to hear more about this hero and be like this hero? A little girl hears of his love for Delilah, and she takes note that Samson's love for Delilah was stronger than those big bulging muscles. How with the power of love, she could pull this brute of a man around by her little finger and long eyelashes. What little girl wouldn't want to hear more? From the sermon last week, we left Samson on the battlefield victorious. What will Samson do next? Maybe he would lead the people of God to war against the Philistines to start the start of a rebellion on a grand scale, but that didn't happen. Maybe he would enjoy his fame, start a jawbone jitsu class or something. But he's too stirred up for that. No, Samson, he continues to be Samson. A thorn in the flesh to the Philistines. And he travels a far distance to the Philistine city of Gaza. This is right in central Palestine area. For no other reason than to embrace a prostitute there. He rips the gates of the city off their hinges. He drags it to the top of a mountain facing the Israelite city of Hebron. For no other reason to say, "Yeah, people of Gaza, you should be scared." I mean, this is something you would expect from the WWE and not from the pages of Scripture. But Samson is not always what we expect him to be, is he? Sometime later, Samson finds someone close to home whom he is enamored by, head over heels for this woman. Happens a lot with him. Her name is Delilah. Do you remember how Samson received his name? His parents wanted to name him after the angel of the Lord who appeared to them and rose through the flames of fire to the heavens. They said, Manoah said, "Angel of the Lord, tell us your name so that we can name the child after you." And the angel of the Lord just said, "My name is beyond understanding." And so the baby comes and they name the son Samson, which means son of brightness. Now we come to Delilah. Her name has a meaning too. D-L-L, the first three letters, means in the Hebrew, can mean to humiliate or something of that nature, to seduce, to succumb to something. And Lila or Halila means darkness or night. So son of brightness, I'd like you to meet to humiliate with darkness. What could go wrong? I mean, the Philistines, they were good. They were good at knowing the weaknesses of their enemies. And for the lady of Timnah, she was run by fear. For Samson, the lure of women engaged in the arts of seduction, it seems like any woman would do. For Delilah, it was money. Where would they go looking for you? What is your weakness? Because all of us have a sinful nature. All of us have weaknesses to particular sins, and it's different for all of you. Is it that you are run by fear, like the lady of Timnah? Is it seduction, like Samson? Or is it money, like Delilah? Maybe it's something else altogether different. The devil knows your weakness. The world knows your weakness. Google and Facebook know what you're interested in. They study you. The devil, the world, and your sinful nature, they study you too. Do you know your weaknesses? A good place to start is this. study the Word of God to know the difference between what God calls is sin and what God calls is good? Have you studied yourself then after that to know where your temptations are that you have to guard against? We heard in our second lesson, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except for what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Where is that way out? Find it. It's God's promise. He provides one. The Philistines, they did not want to kill Samson. They wanted to humiliate him for the rest of his life. And so the five princes offer a total of 5,500 pieces of silver to Delilah for the key to Samson's strength. What is the knowledge of his kryptonite? And to think, Judas only got 30 pieces of silver for Jesus. It's hard to estimate currency back this far, but some have said that the amount that they were offering Delilah here was about 15 years of wages. We're talking about $1 million, maybe $2 million, three, four, five, something of that nature is a nice chunk of change. For Samson and Delilah, this toxic relationship continues on its crash course, and no one is stopping the train wreck. He fell in love, but I don't really think that they were married. It never says that they were married. It never says that they were not married either. But chances are, I mean, we're taking a look at Samson here. We know his track record. We see earlier on in this chapter, he's sleeping with prostitutes. But here, you know, who knows what's going on? But chances are, probably pretty close to 100% certain that they're living together, enjoying the blessings of marriage, but not committed to each other by the bond of marriage. I mean, this is sin. Each one is in it for their own satisfaction. Samson, he just wants to use Delilah for one thing. And Delilah, she wants to use him for a jackpot on the other hand of her betrayal. There's a problem when you look at someone and wonder, how can I use this person for my own satisfaction and live that way? God calls us to have a self-sacrificing love, not a self-serving attitude towards life. Delilah, at least she has manners. Please, she says, please tell me, where does your great strength come from? How could someone tie you up and make you helpless? Not once, but four times they play this game. And at first, one is led to believe that Samson is just the dumbest man on the planet. How could he not know what was happening? But a toxic relationship doesn't always need to make sense. You know that. I think for Samson, he knew exactly what was happening. How he must have laughed himself silly, finding his hair caught up in a loom with a pin, and Delilah pretending to be concerned. Samson, the Philistines are here. They're coming out of my bedroom again with, you know, look at all them. But for Samson, you just take that pin out. He took care of the Philistines like you take care of mosquitoes. And through all of this, where was Samson and his relationship with the Lord? It was absent. It wasn't there. Have you noticed? After the victory over 1,000 men, hearing Samson crying out that he is a servant of God, that this great victory is in the name of the Lord, that Samson puts God to the test, Samson seeks out sin, not God. And it seems like there was no one there to help Samson in his faith. Or if there was, he's just pushing them off. After Delilah wears him out, Samson gives in and he tells her about the Nazarite vow. He's probably broken all of them except for this one, the shaving of his hair, and it happens. And his strength left him. The Lord left him. because the Lord is his strength. Sin desires to have you, to lead you to darkness forever, to separate you from God and all good. We don't have to go to Samson to see that. We find that tug towards darkness in ourselves, and the tug to toss grace, to get rid of God, take advantage of our God-given gifts for sin and not for his purpose. Now repent. Let us repent. And live in the victory of Christ. Every sin of being run by fear, every seduction, the self-serving attitude that we have when we come across other people, if that is the case, the greed that is within our hearts, those sins are nailed to the cross of Christ. The victory, the cross of Christ, brings redemption from all of those sins. God has given us a blessing of each other then to encourage one another in his victory. And by the grace of God, you and I are here before God himself, before the Word, before his forgiveness of sins. Isaiah the prophet talks about our faith. He says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. God keeps the flame of faith burning within you. I do have to tell you, Samson repents of his sin, and he ends his life in the faith. And he fought the good fight of faith on that last battlefield. Our strength is in the Lord. And if there is ever any doubt, Samson leads us to see this great truth. Samson's story is not done yet. Your story isn't done yet either. Hold on to the forgiveness of sins, new life and salvation that is yours in Christ Jesus. Let us live in his victory and be his disciples for all our days into eternity. Amen.